Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name's Jane Fawcett. Alongside me are my three favorites.
Oh,
wow.
In order of favoritism,
face is getting
Sarah Wells, Christian Warren, and Kevin Tinkin.
Wow, we just got MySpace ordered.
Sorry, Kev, you hit number three.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. There's no surprise there.
Now, Sarah, you mentioned MySpace. I took that very seriously.
Oh, absolutely. I change mine often based off of who was my best friend that week.
Well, but like...
But mine are always the same people. Just
but it, I would do like... Mm-hmm. I would switch it up. Well, the great thing about MySpace, you could follow a lot of celebrities. You like, so I would like... Kevin's going to make fun of me, but I would like put in order my five favorite O-Town band members, or like, here's my top four favorite bands this week. Mm-hmm. And then one week would be like, here's my top five high school students that are in the high school... Like, I took a very
themes.
I had themes monthly.
Jordan Bain, one of our interns, he called them Power Mondays. And you, like, had based off how you treated him that week, he would rate you from 1 to 8.
Oh, wow. That's
power
stressful.
Rankings. That's what it was. Power
I really, MySpace went downhill, but I really miss MySpace. I think MySpace was great.
Do you miss?
It's awful. But.
What do you miss about it? Putting a song on your profile?
I think there's.
I do miss that.
Yeah,
I miss that.
I switched my. I made it a point to switch my MySpace every week into like what I was into that week or what I.
Your MySpace background?
No, like the profile activities, movies, music. Oh. Like I would switch everything once a week. Whereas Facebook, I'm not too into it. And like comedians nowadays, their MySpaces, they switch them up all the time to be funny or whatever. Like they still use it. Comedians and artists still use MySpace. And so I'll be on there every once in a while going, I kind of miss this.
Reminiscing.
Yeah, reminiscing.
I haven't changed my profile picture nor the headline in now it's been three or four years. And it said, spring is here. And every year around springtime, like, oh, my MySpace is accurate right now. And then it goes away.
Wait, you That's still good. Have a MySpace?
Well, I've never checked. I haven't checked it in years, but it's just there.
I got one.
You still got, do you have a comedian one or you have your
regular
one? I
haven't deactivated it.
Just a regular one. I didn't.
Yeah. You haven't deleted it?
No, it's still there. I'll get some people writing on my wall every once in a while.
Yeah.
Let's be MySpace friends, you guys.
I don't have one anymore.
The best thing for me with MySpace was Lacey wanted to delete her account, but she couldn't delete it because she had lost the old email address. So she had to send in a photo of her that says like, my name is Lacey Warren. Here is my address. Here's my old email address.
What?
I kid you not. She had to send in a photo of herself holding a sign with her name on it and what her old email address was. That's Please so delete funny. My wow. account.
I wonder if they get those and they go, they'll do anything we tell them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tom is just collecting like this master list of
in
all
these.
In
10 years, there's going to be a book that he puts out and they'll be like, stupid rule followers.
Oh, yeah.
So funny. Oh, well, hey, we got a good show for you guys today. Jane got to do the intro because she purchased me a
Dr. Pepper Freeze.
A Dr. Pepper Freeze that was a little more watered down than I'd like to think.
This is the thing. We get there. All of us are... Buchanan kids met at this Shop and Go to get Dr. Pepper Freezes before Dodgeball on Wednesday.
Correct.
And I was super excited about it because I love Dr. Pepper Freezes.
And I enjoy them as well.
Yeah. And all these kids are going before me and I'm standing there like, oh crap. It's because we get there and they're like, the light was on. So we waited until everybody got there. Then we go and the light's off. So I'm like, yes.
Wait, light then on.
Well,
light
you know, on a Slurpee
like,
machine,
it
like
still
the light.
Like making it or whatever.
This is riveting podcast.
This is the worst podcast ever.
No,
we talked about MySpace for 10 minutes.
Oh, people can
which
relate to
Christian
MySpace.
Christian talked about his top friends being the different members of O-Town. So much detailed ridiculousness.
Are you done and, over there?
And now we're talking about.
Keep
the process of buying a Dr. Pepper Freeze.
Okay, so it gets to me and. I'm like standing there thinking, I've been waiting for this all day and it's going to be watery by the time I get there. So Cambria Spears lets me go. It's watery. It wasn't too...
It wasn't the worst, but the best part was I drank half it. I set it down on the bench in the thing and then halfway through dodgeball, a ball smacked my Pepsi and it went all over the sound machine, all over the cord.
Shoot.
And I'm cleaning it up and there's this guy who works at Break the Barriers. I'm like, hey... I spilled some water all over the guy.
said that?
And then I was like, it's kind of sticky. I may have been soda or something.
There was a guy who worked at Break the Barriers who was there the whole time.
There the whole time. And so I had to clean it, the cord off, like one by like the
and
whole cord.
And you had to apologize for lying.
Yeah, I felt
him.
Really bad, but I was hoping he wasn't mad at me.
Yeah, and as soon as I get there, Christian goes, he sees all of us with our Dr. Pepper freezes and he goes, there better be one of those for me.
I'm a very selfish person. So, obviously. Hey, we got a good show for you today, despite what Kevin is saying. All right.
So hey, there man. I was in line to get a Dr. Pepper freeze, and I was like, it's going to be melted.
Hey,
the day was ruined.
I listened to your podcast, and you know, 5-10 minutes in is when you guys get into it as well. So back off the spoutcast, all right?
Nope.
Hey, we got a sermon discussion. We're going to talk about 2 Samuel. I'd like to take the, and 2 Chronicles, but I'd like to take the first minute of that. Oh, yeah. 1 Chronicles, mm-hmm. Sorry. I'd like to take the first minute of that and just rip on PJ for no reason, just for fun.
Just for funsies.
And if we tell him to listen to it, he will do it.
Yeah. Wait, did Jared teach at Clovis? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I heard PJ's sermon on 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. We are also going to interview Scott Carolyn about Serve Day, which is coming up on March 17th. So St. Patrick's Day. So that's exciting. And he's going to chat with us just kind of about the process of switching Serve Day a little bit this year, why we're doing it differently. And Scott has never been on the podcast before.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jane.
It's really surprising. I really thought that
Jane books the big guns. Mm-hmm. And when you have a title like spiritual formation director at the Well, you're probably the most spiritual person on staff.
Yeah,
probably.
I'd say so.
Yeah, so he's going to be here, and then we'll close out the show. But I chose the music this week, Kevin.
Oh, brace gosh. Yourself, right. Sarah. Remember we talked about this last time.
If you
run out of time, you make time.
he requested this.
Okay. Even worse.
Well, I'm a big fan of Saturday Night Live, and I have not missed Saturday Night Live since I was 16 years old. Oh. And there was the weirdest, most cryptic commercial during Saturday Night Live, and it was. Basically, this Daft Punk song came on, and it was this music in the background, and then it was about 10 seconds later, and the commercial just ended. It was this super cryptic, weird commercial. Didn't say anything. It had Daft Punk for 2 seconds on the screen, and then the commercial went away, and it happened twice, and I thought, that is the most brilliant marketing strategy of all time, because now I'm super curious about it, which reignited me listening to some old Daft Punk, because they haven't come out with a new album since like 2005. So, big fan over here. I like boy bands and techno music. So
Daft Punk's a good
band,
man.
Are you
going to
be... playing some Daft Tresco Punk. Or whatever his name is?
Tiesto? I will
at
not
the
be
Mart
seeing
Center.
Him. But, so we are playing Daft Punk.
Daft Punk writes and plays their own music.
Yes, correct.
What would Skrillex kind of be labeled as?
Dubstep. So that's a new form of techno.
Like,
but I would argue that Daft Punk would be under electronica. Is that would be that label.
You know that's why I don't like O-Town and almost all the other bands that you, because they're literally organized by 60-year-old men.
Can we just go back a second and just so you are aware, yeah. O-Town wrote and sang and played the instruments on their second album.
We're getting crazy.
So. There it is. Here's all the popularity in the world. Now we're going to let a bunch of 12-year-old girls who like you. Now you can learn how to do it.
Hey, they were on Making the Band.
I'm just saying, you know, they're different than NSYNC, whereas they wrote their own songs and played their own instruments. So
on the second album.
On the second.
But did they wear overalls like NSYNC?
No overalls.
Here's
no
$10 million and Disney's going to promote you. You won't fail.
They failed. It's kind of sad.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying.
So this week's music is Daft Punk, and I'm proud of it because I really like Daft Punk, but I never had a reason to play them on the show other than these really weird cryptic commercials.
Did you ever figure out
that's
were about?
The internet is a buzz about these Daft Punk commercials because it's basically them. They're basically saying, here's a 15-second clip of a song off our new album, but they played it like right after Macklemore did the rap on SNL this past weekend. So right after that bit, this Daft Punk thing came up. And it was watching it, you're like, what was that? That was crazy. So I just was really excited.
I'm going to look it up now.
You should. It's about a 10-15-second clip. It was awesome. I'm a big fan of that band. Stay tuned for some sermon discussion and some ripping on PJ.
David sinned. And this is a great example that that is not true, at least not every time, because David's sin affected how many people? So many. Look at that census at the very end. David sins and 70,000 people die. It's like we've said it before here that sin is like a hand grenade. It explodes and shrapnel goes all over the place and just hits everybody around you. That's sin. And we need to remember that. Don't belittle it. Don't even say that. Don't fall for the lie that it's just about something that affects in my own life. It affects the entire body of Christ. When we sin.
That was a clip from PJ's sermon this past week. And as stated before, the way that the sermons are going to start to work here at the Well is Brad is going to teach kind of his whenever he teaches, and he'll do midweek, and then you'll either see a video or live on Sunday. But if PJ or Jared teach, you will most likely have them live at the Clovis campus and North campus or Fig campus. So they're trying to do more live things. And so if PJ teaches, Jared will most likely also teach as well. Mm-hmm. So Sarah heard the same sermon as us, but maybe it was a little different, or was it pretty much exactly the same?
I don't know. I didn't listen to PJ's.
But you are on 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I'm just assuming they hit the same major points, but they're very different people, so they're probably yes. very different.
So if you may have heard two different sermons, but PJ talked for a long time.
Did
just, he? Just saying. This is kind of long. You know, for okay. PJ.
I didn't feel like it was super long.
Well, you know,
that's how good he
sometimes
is.
I think
clocked in at about 39 minutes, and then with a prayer, it was upwards towards the 40 minute
I think
mark.
Sometimes we're too like fluffy, not fluffy. Just that's saying. The wrong word, but we gotta challenge our people.
I started to fall asleep after about minute 20.
No, well, that's didn't. Not PJ's fault. That's yours.
Boom.
PJ's so hashtag sensitive. I opened his door today and I said, "Hey, that was a pretty rough sermon this past Sunday," and he turns around, he's like, "Really? Like, which one did you listen to?" I'm like, "Dude, I'm just kidding. It was great." He's a sensitive guy, sensitive soul, that PJ.
He's a lover, man.
He is. He really is. So he basically talked about, we kind of talked about 1 Samuel this past week, and then PJ's sermon dived into 2 Samuel.
Dove
into 2 Samuel
and Dave.
First Chronicles, but
David did.
David did.
I would argue he spoke about 1 Chronicles for maybe 30 seconds. So,
oh yeah, he hardly talked about 1 Chronicles at all.
So I feel like they did all this work on the Bible charts, and he's like, just screw that book. It doesn't really matter.
Well, I don't know if PJ said this, but Jared explained it really well. 1 Chronicles is a list pretty much of David's accomplishments that he did, and then 2 Samuel is his character.
Sort of, yes.
And I thought that was like so helpful because it just makes sense, so.
One of the ways that PJ described it was just like Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John are different accounts of Jesus's life. Mm-hmm. You know, these are different accounts of the life of David. And so they are very different, but I really think he hit 1 Chronicles for 30 seconds and then moved on to 2 Samuel.
It was
so,
like, yeah.
Yeah.
Hardly
so,
anything about Chronicles. Right.
Jared probably talked about it for like 5 minutes.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I'm totally off. You guys are in a different section, but I was just thinking about, I listened to it on the way over here, and they've got the consequences of sin is pretty much, right? Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the overarching theme.
Yeah.
I would say the first 20 minutes of a sermon before I fell asleep was so kind of setting up who David was, character of David. But then once he hit 2 Samuel 15 and on, then they focused more on sin, consequences of sin.
Well, the thing that kept getting to me, and it happens, it's been happening like last 3 weeks in a row. So David sleeps with Bathsheba.
Yes.
Right? And he's like, and God's like, "Oh, you better watch yourself because now it's coming for you. And this is all, it's all going to hit you." Another guy tries to catch the Ark of the Covenant and he dies on the spot.
He touched the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going, what's... Come on, God, what are you doing here?
Well, but then David's...
It's two totally different things, though.
And I feel like David's consequence of his sin with Bathsheba, I mean, it cost people's lives as well. Not David's life, right, but other people's lives. So would you rather die or have the conscience of I killed other people?
I want that sliding scale of consequence on it. Like, well that's you have sex with another man's wife, you're good. But there's going to be some stuff in the future that's really going to make you wrestle. If you touch something, you're
see,
dead.
I would say the whole theme of PJ's message was you aren't good.
Yeah.
And I would say that David had to live with the consequence of his sin for the rest of his life. In fact, as we hear in the sermon clip, you know, his one sin exploded a shrapnel of consequences for the rest of his life and ended up killing 70,000 people.
But we also have to remember that the Ark of the Covenant was how they carried God around.
Yeah.
So there was a difference in the reverence of that versus obviously something that wasn't a good choice, but sleeping with somebody's wife. There
was
a
deal.
let's set this up for a second.
That's what I'm saying. That you feel what I'm saying?
Well, I think it's tough.
I could totally identify with what Kevin's saying, because reading through the first part of the Old Testament, when we were reading through it, I stopped. But it was hard for me to like this is the same God who just, like, the same thing, like he gives grace, which is great, and then he kills someone for what did he do again? Like,
or right. When it says that if a child disobeyed their parents that they were dead.
Yeah. Right. Well, think about this. Like, think about how many times Christian has broken wind in this studio.
I don't want to know how many times.
I mean, that it's
too many
innumerable
times to count.
There's not enough. Yeah, it's like the stars in the sky.
There's not enough gas in the galaxy.
And think about, we don't think about that. Like, I'm not saying, I'm obviously painting a picture. I'm not trying to say, like, whatever. But the way we view sin is so different now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't understand what the farts had to do with
it. Yeah.
Okay, so touching the Ark of the Covenant is where God lives. We're in a church. Where God, you know, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
And
I've defiled God's
with
space
your flatulence.
Here.
If we found out you were cheating, you know, on your wife, we'd be like, whoa. You know,
sure, we would have a far different reaction
to
that. I think it, yeah, like Jane says, I totally understand it. It seems inconsistent, but as you read through the Old Testament, you get this idea that the Ark of the Covenant is this like mecca of things that you don't mess with, you know, and the people that, you know, you read, I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but when we were talking about Samson and stuff, in Judges maybe, but there's the story of like this group of people takes the Ark of the Covenant and like hundreds of people in their village die and they're like, get rid of this thing. You know, this is pure evil. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else takes it, they send it to another
mother cow.
Yeah. And it gets to another village and then that village gets to, you know, a bunch of people destroyed. Yeah. So I think that you're right. It is very different, but David's sin is, I think the point that PJ was trying to make and the point of David's sin is, sure, it's inconsistent because he didn't touch something and then die. You know, he had to live with this mistake for the rest of his life. In fact, it caused the death of a child because of this. It also caused the death of one of his best friends.
Yeah. And I think kind of a conclusion I had to come to was God, you know, disciplines the proud and gives grace to the humble. And I think a lot of time we don't know people's hearts in the Bible. And that guy may have really had a proud heart, you know, and so God saw, no, you're going to die because of, you know, you're defiling what I asked you to do. And David, as we saw from yesterday, he has a humble heart and he did repent and confess and stuff.
I think the hard thing I have, or the hard thing that with, along with what Kevin is saying, and I mentioned this to PJ earlier today, but Saul is this guy that, sure, he sinned and Saul made a lot of mistakes, and PJ, you know, summed this up at the end of his sermon, but really the biggest sin he did was like he sacrificed an animal when he wasn't supposed to, you know, and that's the big sin where God says, you will no longer like be king and I'm going to have David come up. And David is this guy who, if we just take David's life and you were to tell a non-Christian about David, most non-Christians would know of David as like, oh, is David and Goliath. David's a good guy. I've heard he's the guy who seeks after God's own heart. You know what I mean? David is revered as this great guy. And sometimes we forget about the horrible things he caused because of his sin, you know? And whereas Saul just like, dude, I accidentally misread you,
he
God.
He didn't accidentally do it.
Well, he did it on purpose, and I killed an animal when I wasn't supposed to. But we don't hear a story of Solomon.
Christian's always trying to cover for Saul.
Hear a story of Saul, I mean, where he's, sleeping with somebody else or
yeah.
But PJ mentioned at the very end of his sermon, it's how he reacts to his sin.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that I like a lot about PJ's sermons is he always gives like practical bullet points at the very end.
Right.
Like how this can like think about these things and see how it applies to your life. And I like too, he mentioned that David's response to the consequence that God gave him was to worship.
Right.
And just thinking through like, what's my response when I mess up and like I'm being punished or whatever, or like things don't go my way. Like, is my reaction to mope about it and be like a sissy about it, or is my reaction to worship God or to like say like, okay, Lord, I know that you see the bigger picture of it and I don't. So it just made me think about things like that.
Yeah.
One, I think it makes us realize the importance of repentance and the importance of when sin is pointed out in our life, instead of turning the other cheek and going, I think you're wrong or whatever, going, you're right. And that is an issue that I do need to work on. And you got to be humble about it, as you mentioned. And that is the major difference between a Saul and a David. Mm-hmm. And David's heart, as we'll see here in a couple weeks in the book of Psalms, comes out and just like what his real thoughts are, what he's thinking through this whole process of sin. But I can only imagine just the weight that was on David's shoulders in his sin and the amount of deaths he caused because of his sin. And I'm not saying that our sin in this room has caused the death of somebody else, but sometimes I think that we forget the consequences that sin does have, especially in a Western world, talking to a high school kid, they don't understand the consequences of like porn because it's not really hurting anybody. Or, if you're sleeping with somebody else's wife or you're sleeping with somebody who's single, it's like, well, no harm, no foul, but we don't really recognize how that it internally hurts us. Mm-hmm. David's sin causes this external stuff. People die. His, son dies. 70,000 people die. But internally, we don't get that story of David, what's going on inside of him. Mm-hmm. Whereas nowadays in Western culture, the more the consequences of sin is a mental thing, an internal thing, way we love one another.
I think the most important consequence is that it severs a relationship with God.
Right.
Like it puts a wall between how we talk to God, how we spend time with him. The more I sin, the less time I want to spend with God. So that's the biggest thing that happens.
Sure. And I just think that sin is one of those things where if we don't recognize it as something serious, then we can downplay it. You know what I mean? We can go, well, it's not a big deal. Like, it's just, I sinned one time. I mean, we are so accustomed to sinning and sometimes not even repenting and just going like, it's just whatever. I'll just keep moving on. Keep going on with life, So, and I think that was something that I got out of PJ's sermon this past week, just the importance of repentance and recognizing your own sin. Mm-hmm. So,
and he said, or I don't know if PJ did, but Jared at least talked about like people who have affairs, they don't wake up one day and say, I'm having an affair today.
Right.
It happens one step at a time. And, like that's how, like when we let little things in our life, compromises, and then they get into bigger compromises, so we have to nip them in the bud, because you don't wake up one day thinking I'm gonna go do this, but it's just the little things that lead up to it.
It's the gateway drug.
I talked to someone who they had an affair, and by God's grace they're like, it's a great marriage now. Anyways, this person said, I did not fall into this. I stepped down one step at a time into this decision. It wasn't falling into sin. No, I stepped into it, and it was really cool to hear this person's perspective. He walked through it and now like has total reconciliation. It's a beautiful thing. Anyways,
I think that's a good reminder of the little sins ultimately lead to the bigger ones,
Is there a small and big sins?
Ooh.
No, I'm just saying this. The small compromises.
I just threw that out there.
The small compromises, I think, lead to the ones that maybe have more consequences. Is that a better way to say it?
Yeah, that's a fair way to
say
it.
Is that more biblically correct?
I would say so. We'll have Rick Taylor listen and tell us.
Yeah, he listens all
the
time.
He does every week.
So you got the joke now.
Yeah, there you go.
You're
Sarah.
Rolling with it.
There you go.
I mean, one day you're taking ibuprofen for the headache, you know, and 3 days later you're doing roofies in Vegas.
All right, this is two conversations going on at the same time.
Sorry.
Oh, mine was really relevant. So it's really, really relevant.
Ibuprofen.
I heard something about ibuprofen.
Yeah, it's not important.
Okay.
It's okay. You guys got it. I'm sure it was important.
No,
there,
this wasn't. I just realized I was behind on a joke.
Okay, we had mentioned a couple weeks ago that if we say everybody listens to the Spoutcast and they're big fans. And so we said, Rick Taylor, big fan, listen to the Spoutcast every week. So everybody thinks everybody listens to the Spoutcast.
Yeah.
I totally got to listen to the Spoutcast.
Yeah. But we have while to you were quit having your, explaining that.
Yeah. While you were having your little sidebar conversation, Kevin was making a joke going, it's like using ibuprofen and waking up, you know, half naked in your bed in Las Vegas or something. Something like that.
Ibuprofen.
Well, one moment you're doing ibuprofen, okay. And the next
was
moment,
I way off in what I just said?
Right. We need to hone it in.
Yeah, we really got to hone it in.
I love it when a joke you have to explain it later, and when you really break it down so that you can see all the points, it makes it so much better.
All the facets of the humor.
Yeah, the reason that this is funny.
Well, ultimately, back to the David here. I think it was a great sermon to listen to. We are taking a break from the Generation series this next week to talk about Serve Day, but this is a great week to kind of catch up. And I don't know, I think it was just a really well done explanation of David's life as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually get bits and pieces of David's life. We don't get the, you know, there was a moment towards the end of PJ's sermon where it was like a list of like all the men in David's like top soldiers, top army,
the mighty men.
But one of them was listed, you know, at the very end was Uriah, and a lot of times people forget that he was one of David's closest friends, you know, and he spent a lot of time with him, and yet he basically had him killed. So you just get some more details when you do an overview of David's life versus just honing in on David and Goliath, mm-hmm. or David and Bathsheba, or a psalm on David, or
because those kind of seem like totally different people.
It
seems like different characters in each story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you forget it's all
one of the things that I remember from Israel, and Scott, who's coming in next, can probably attest to this as well. But when you're in Israel, you get to see the old Jerusalem and the old city of David, and you know, the way that the houses are set up is that it's kind of on a hillside. And so if you're at the top house, you can kind of see the house below you. So if you are, you know, Brad's mentioned this talking about Bathsheba, but if you're a woman and you're taking a shower outside and you know
what you're doing.
You know what you're doing. You know that somebody's above you can totally see you. So it's this thing where it's like everybody goes, oh, well, David's the bad one. But Bathsheba played a part in it as well.
Yeah, and when you're in Israel, pretty manipulative.
Yeah, when you're in Israel, you can see, you're like, yeah, why would you take a shower naked outside when everybody can see you from above you?
You should have at least worn your bathing suit.
Yeah, and sandals, you know.
You never know. You never know. Maybe
the inside shower wasn't working. So.
Who knows?
Maybe the bathhouse was like really
maybe
full.
Maybe she didn't realize she was naked.
No, she knew. She knew.
Okay, she knew. Uh-huh. Yeah. So on that note, listen to the sermon. And speaking of Serve Day and Scott Carolyn, he's going to be in here next. So enjoy some more Daft Punk, and we will bring him in next. Never after working. All right, we are back, and we are here with Scott Carolyn, the most spiritual man on staff. Scott, the spiritual formation director, uh-huh. Carolyn.
Uh-huh. And, can you float?
Yeah. Not yet. Currently, we can see a halo hovering over Scott's head. Halo. Scott, do you feel like your title makes you sound like the most spiritual person on staff?
I think...
That's a weird question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just asking personally.
Just give him 6 months. He'll have a new title.
I never. Sooner than that, maybe.
Yeah. On a scale of Christian to Scott, how spiritually formed are you, Sarah?
Me? Oh, that's very difficult.
You're more on the Christian side.
Probably.
Now, Scott, your official title now is Spiritual Formation Director, but this is our first time on the show, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And Scott, huge fan of the show, listens every week, right?
All the time.
Now, Scott, when you first started at the Well, what was your first role at the Well?
When I first started, I had two jobs. One of them was in connections. So I was a connections coordinator, helped people get connected
for
to
what
different
campus?
For the whole Well at that point in time. And, yeah, we didn't have stuff by campuses then. And then the other one was working with community at the time, which was overseeing life groups or doing that with alongside Jared Rumley.
And weren't you also writing what we used to call the, what do we call it?
The Ripple.
The Ripple.
The Ripple, yes. We founded the Ripple, really.
You did?
Yeah, me and Jared, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I did a lot of the original writing, yeah.
So wow, then nice. You went from that role. Basically, you were like the first sort of online pastor in a sense, because you were like writing these spiritual notes and then sending them out. That was your form of being a pastor in a sense, correct?
That would definitely be part of it, yeah.
Okay. And then from then, what was your next role?
Then I became the community director. So I took over from Jared when Jared became a campus pastor and helped oversee all the life groups at the Well, along with a team of awesome people.
And that probably was like 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
No, it was right before I got hired.
Yeah. So
how long ago was that?
That's maybe 2010. 2.5 years.
Oh, wow. That's been a while. Yeah. So then from that point on, you went to become what?
If I remember right, then I became a spiritual formation director for the North Campus.
Okay.
PM services.
Well, first I was North Campus as a whole.
As a whole, yeah.
Because then Chris was the campus pastor, so I worked with Chris. And then I was the spiritual formation director for North PM services.
Just
after
5
that.
And 7.
Yeah.
And midweek.
Good grief, man.
Yeah.
How do you get traction on anything when your title changes so much?
You just don't.
Yeah.
Come on, always guys. That's not okay.
Nothing sticks at the Well except for my position.
Yeah.
Which has basically been the same.
Well, that's because nobody else wants to work for the kids. Are you still willing to do this position?
Yes.
Now, and then your final role before this one was the North PM Spiritual Formation Director, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then, I don't know, 2 months ago, you became the Spiritual Formation Director.
Yeah, something like that.
So, and you've been at the Well for how many years?
On staff, you mean?
Yeah.
Probably, 4.5?
Wow.
I think.
Because I feel like you and Andrew File were hired around the same time, correct?
Yeah, he was a little before me, but
and then I was hired, I think I was one of the next hires after you and Andrew.
Yeah, you were about 6 months after that or something like that.
Yeah, but there was like a lull of no hires for a long time, and then all of a sudden, like I felt like when I got hired, it was 50 people came on after that.
So. Yeah. When I got hired on, and we could all fit around a few tables.
Right.
For a staff meeting or something.
So Scott, what does your position entail? What's your role besides spiritually forming everyone at the Well?
Yeah, that's not big or anything. spiritual formation director. So a lot of it is helping to oversee the various spiritual formation directors on every campus. But what we do as a whole is help people get into healthy environments to grow spiritually, to live on mission together, to study the Bible together, that sort of stuff. So right now it's a lot of helping people get into life groups, create healthy life groups, do training with life group leaders, coaches, and then also helping those life groups and the church as a whole live on mission together. So figuring out what does it mean to serve other people in their neighborhoods and then beyond in other places as well. And then even what does it look like to get people on global exposure trips? How do we get them overseas so they can experience different cultures and what it looks like to take the gospel to other places too.
And that's a new shift, having mission sort of underneath spiritual formation.
Yeah, when we originally made the shift to spiritual formation, we put local mission under spiritual formation, but global was separate. And right. So just recently, we put global under there as well, yeah.
Do you feel like that's going to be a good thing for the future of missions and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's great because we had overlap and we're all thinking the same thing, and we really want to get our life groups and our people going on mission trips globally anyway. And so now that we're all on the same team, so to speak, it makes it a lot easier to have those conversations and to figure out how to make that happen. So,
This past summer, Sarah went to London this past summer, but Scott, was it this past summer or maybe it was the summer before, but you went to Ukraine, right?
Yeah. No, yeah.
That was this past summer.
That was this past summer. Yeah. How was that?
It was a great experience. Yeah. It was my first time over there, working with a group called Hope for Orphans. And we basically went and put on a summer camp for a week, 12 days at an orphanage.
It was you and a bunch of the LOS kids, right?
Yeah. A lot of college students from the LOS group. Yeah.
And they're going again this summer. They're doing
two,
the same thing.
2 weeks again, yeah.
Two different trips. Two teams,
yeah.
Are going back. Are you going to go back or?
I'm not going to go back this summer, but I was just actually talking with Zhenya, who's kind of the point person over there, and I definitely will go back. I don't know when. They're working on some other projects that we'd like to be a part of, and we're just kind of figuring out those things out too.
That's cool. Scott's wife is expecting a baby. Is that, that's public knowledge.
Yeah.
Is that happening over the summer? Is that why you can't go? Or?
Yeah, that's at the end of July.
Okay, so it's like right in the middle.
Yeah, so our third is on the way, and so that's, my wife probably wouldn't like me too much if I went to Ukraine for a couple weeks.
No.
Third one.
Around, man. Two boys and potentially, we don't know yet.
Well, I know.
Oh,
but it's a
the
secret.
World doesn't know.
It's a secret until
this
Saturday.
Do you want to release the breaking news?
This Saturday, are you having a gender reveal party?
Oh, yeah.
Does
are
she
you
know?
Gonna post a picture on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Does your wife know what the gender is?
Yeah, just the two of us know.
So okay. You're going to announce it to family, friends. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember that episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when they try and hide the... the gender from their whole family, and then they lose the envelope where the gender was in. So make sure you don't forget the gender because it made for a hilarious sitcom in 1996.
I'll work on it.
Now, Scott and I, we meet for coffee every Wednesday morning, and here's a couple things I like about Scott, okay? Scott is the kind of guy, very much like me, where he likes to try new things. And so we'll go to Uncle Harry's for bagels. And Scott will, I feel like you never get the same thing. Always a new thing every time. Whereas Andrew and Brian get the same thing every single time.
Yeah.
And sometimes at La Boo, which is, it's like La Boo Lingerie is what it's called.
Yeah.
They have about four coffees.
It's at Fig Garden Village. Thank you.
Not yeah. Campus. Fig Garden Village. And there's four coffees they have out. It's a weird name.
I'm going to, yep.
And so the first coffee is like
Bathsheba works there.
Yeah, yes. Bathsheba definitely works there. First coffee's name is some like super artsy fartsy like coffee name like
La Boo Lingerie.
Yeah, something weird. And then the second one is like it's just called Decaf, and the third one is another artsy like, you know, coastal coffee name, and it's all these like, oh, of course you'd take these three. And the fourth one is like peppermint, spearmint, fun, joy, chocolate time. And me and Scott always be the fourth one.
Chocolate time.
One of them's called like Jamaican me crazy.
Yep.
That's true. Me and Scott, so that's what we get every time. So that's what I appreciate about Scott. He's always willing to live on the edge a little bit. Got so
it. You used to post a picture of your bagel and schmear every
yeah,
week.
Yeah, but nobody cared about that. You know, my likes were about three likes a
you
week.
Were afraid so. Of oh, so you post them. Things for the likes.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Absolutely.
Now, let's get to another thing, kind of spiritual formation director. But Scott, you're kind of overseeing a big event we're doing here at the Well called Serve Day.
Yeah.
And maybe give us the history of what Serve Day has been in the past and what we are doing this year.
Yeah. So, you know, we've always thought it was important for us to figure out how to go out and serve in the community and do different things. And so we've sort of seen it evolve over the years. One of the things we did early on was we'd all gather in one location. So, for instance, we'd go to the Susan B. Anthony neighborhood and the school right there and figure out how are we going to serve and bless the school in this neighborhood. And we'd descend with hundreds, maybe even 1,000 people from the Well, and we'd do various projects throughout that neighborhood, park cleanup projects and painting projects and that sort of stuff. And it was a great time, and we got to kind of have the momentum of having a bunch of people together at one spot and serve one location. But we eventually realized that we wanted to instill this idea that serving wasn't just a one, something you did once a year. It wasn't an event you did. It became sort of part of who you were as a follower of Christ. And it really was more of a lifestyle decision. And so we made a shift a few years ago. And we handed out $5 to everyone who showed up at the well and said, here's $5. Now go be a blessing. Go serve somebody in your life and really wrestle with what's God calling you to do personally with that money. And that was great as well. We saw people, all kinds of great stories of people coming in and fixing a neighbor's fence that had been broken for years, or random people that they met, on the side of the road or the restaurant and bought them lunch, that sort of stuff. And so we really saw people start to get the idea that this was something they could own.
Kevin put his on black and lost, so.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And it was encouraging them, too, to put a little skin in the game on there.
Yeah.
Home,
right?
Yeah, and we talked about the idea that it wasn't just, with $5, obviously, there's not necessarily a ton you could do, but what could you do to multiply that money or add to it with your own money? So some people...
Well, life groups got together and 10 people in a group, there was $50 and they were able to do something with that.
Yeah, they'd combined it and do a car wash or something like that, or go bless somebody or serve somebody, yeah.
And then last year, it was $1 or...
Yeah, we went from $5 to $1.
Cheap church,
man. That
was
an interesting conversation trying to figure that out. What do you do?
Yeah, same idea.
So that's been kind of the evolution of Serve Day for the last 3 years. But we're doing something a little bit different this year, and maybe kind of explain what we're thinking for this year.
Yeah, we're going with sort of a hybrid model. So we called it Serve Day for those first couple of years, Serve the DAY, and then we switched the name to Serve DEI. As in serve God. And then, so we've made a shift over the last couple of years. And this year we figured we're going to try and bring the best of both worlds together. We want to gather everyone together so you can feel the momentum and what it looks like to serve together and see the body serving at one place. But we also still want to be scattered and want to create this idea of a lifestyle service and be spread throughout the city. So what we're doing this year is gathering at Fresno State. And everyone's going to come to one location and you'll have the opportunity there to sign up for a Serve Day project, or you can sign up ahead of time online.
This is on March 17th.
March 17th.
Fresno State. What time should everyone gather there?
We're saying 9 o'clock is a start time, but if you haven't signed up for a project, then 8:30 will be open to help people get connected in a project. Okay.
And if you're leading a project, very cool. You need to be there at 8.
There you go. So, so everyone's going to gather together.
Yeah, everyone's going to gather together, get signed up for a project. We'll organize in this parking lot, kind of buy our projects. And Brad will give a sort of a kind of a talk on why we do Serve Day and why is this a big deal and the heart behind it and that sort of stuff.
A little bit of a rally cry in a sense.
Rally, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So from there, they're going out. Now, where's the hybrid fit in?
Yeah, this is when we're going to send the life groups back out to scattered throughout the city. And so the idea would be that we're not all just going to be in one neighborhood or one location, but we're going to go and serve all over the city. It could be where you live. It could be a park in your neighborhood. It could be related to where you work or a connection you have there. It could be a hobby that you have, or it could be in another neighborhood in Fresno that you have a heart for or passion for. And so we're going to scatter throughout the city and do probably 50, 60, 70 projects all over the place.
We have up to 80 right now on the website.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I like about this is that in the years past, we would work with ENP and ENP and the well would come up with, let's come up with 20 projects for people at the well to do. But instead, we're kind of putting it back on the plates of life groups and saying, what do you want to do? Where do you want to serve as a group? And if you look on our serve page, I couldn't even finish scrolling through all the different projects. I mean, there's so many of them. And it's just exciting to see, it's literally happening all over the place. And if you even go to wellcommunity.com/serve, there's a map. .org/serve. There's a map on there with all the different dots where this is happening. And it's just like, it's scattered all throughout Fresno. Yeah. And then there's one like way deep in the 99, which is kind of funny. But
North and like Jensen.
Yeah. I put that on there. So, this is exciting for the well. This is a brand new thing we're trying. And as far as the Fresno State parking lot, is the whole church going to be there? Or what are we thinking for that?
Yeah, I mean, we're literally canceling services for that entire week at every campus. So the idea would be, instead of going to service, we're all going to show up at Fresno State that morning, and the entire church will be in that parking lot.
And this Wednesday and Sunday, there's a sermon about Serve Day, and we're launching it, promoting it, all of the above.
Yeah, each of the campus pastors will do a message on Serve Day and the heart behind it and some of the hows and stuff like that. Yeah.
And back, we were talking about life groups putting them on. All of the projects are put on by
life groups.
And some groups have teamed up together to do things. Some have split up to do more projects. But it's really cool to see the church put this out. Like, the admins are organizing things, but as far as leading the projects, they're all doing it.
Right.
Yeah. We're asking them to be the church, so to speak. So that literally means wrestling with what is God calling you guys to do as a life group to go be the church and serve. We're not going to set the project up for you mm-hmm. so that you can just show up and serve. But we really want life groups and individuals to kind of wrestle mm-hmm. with God and go, man, what do you want me to do? What do you want our life to do? And how can we invite other people to join us?
And it's so cool to see the variety of people, of projects that are coming in. Because there's everything from repainting the Evangel home or relaying down cement somewhere to putting on a neighborhood St. Patrick's Day family party.
Like,
and they're going to pass out flyers and get kids involved and or get kids to clean up trash at parks. And there's just so many things. So if you think like, oh, I'm not good at doing manual labor, there are so many things on there that aren't manual labor.
And there's also... on the first probably 20 or 15, there's ones that say kid friendly on it. And so if you have kids for that serve day, so it's not like, oh, we can't do it because we have kids or whatever. There's lots of kids friendly ones. And
I feel like half of them are kid friendly.
Yeah, a lot of them are kid friendly. The thing I'm most excited about, because I complain about this a lot, free t-shirts. Right?
That's right.
Yeah, they are. And there's green in the t-shirt, so you won't get pinched for St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh, smart. Now, see, I complain a lot because the Well always makes people pay $10 for t-shirts, and then we have boxes of t-shirts that have never been used in our attic before, and I paid $10 for it. So I expect my $10 back, Karen, who listens all the time.
Totally.
And but this is a free t-shirt. And we'll post on our Instagram what the t-shirt looks like, because it's cool.
You think we can?
Yeah.
Maybe not this week. Maybe next week.
Why?
I'm not sure. Why?
The logo's on the website.
Is it not part of our marketing strategy? Sometimes they just don't release it.
I didn't know if they wanted to.
Spoutcast is a secret society, and we post whatever we want. So
That's right.
The logo is on the website. So if you go to serve, there's a big serve day banner on there, and you click that, and it'll basically... Am I getting this right? You click the serve button.
Yes.
Serve day banner.
Get connected. Serve.
Yeah.
Click the banner.
And the banner will take you to the, you know, 80 different sites.
Yeah.
And we should have Chris Hensley, who designed the t-shirt, to explain. Was it Chris Hensley?
Yeah.
Because there's
a
really cool explanation behind the t-shirt. Right. So.
Now, this is just, if I'm a dummy online, if a group is closed, it will say closed and I can't sign up for that group.
Yeah, you'll see all the spots have been taken. You won't be able to sign up for it anymore.
So I want to look for the green ones that say it's open, basically.
Yeah, and it'll say like 25 of 40 spots taken. You'll know, you know, that it's available that way as well.
Because there's some spots that only 10 people can go to this. And so,
yeah, some projects can only handle so many people, and so we can't, you know, send too many people
and
their
way.
And
some projects are totally unlimited, so you can bring your life group and someone else's.
Now, I noticed on the serve page, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but some of them were like raise money for a specific thing, but it wasn't necessarily a serve project. Is that?
Yeah, there's some.
The fun run.
That's the one I was thinking of too. There's some that are thinking like, so they're going to do a fun run that involves kids to raise some money to give to a homeless initiative in Fresno. And so the money is going to be used for something that would definitely be considered part of a serve project, but they're figuring out a way to involve kids and families to raise money for that initiative.
Gotcha.
There are some things like that, yeah.
Innovative.
Yes, everything's innovative, and I encourage you to check that out on our page and to come to the event at Fresno State at 9:30 because...
Nine o'clock.
Sorry. Well, you can show up at 9:30.
We won't be there.
There will be an empty parking lot at 9:30. So be there at 9. Actually, be there at 8:30 and find a good parking spot. Because you get a free t-shirt. But...
Limited amount.
Unlimited amount. Limited.
We're only printing so many t-shirts.
I better get one.
T-shirts for everyone.
Well, one of the things we're trying to discourage is people just going straight to their site and I don't need to go to this whole thing. It's only going to be 30 minutes at Fresno State and I'm just going to book it. But the point is to gather together to create a momentous kind of occasion, kind of like served it or state of the church a little bit, where we all come together big rally cry. Let's go now serve
build
the
energy.
Community. Yeah, build some energy. So don't miss out on the 9 o'clock kind of serve day launch in a sense.
And Brad's face is going to be painted like Braveheart. Like, you know, when he like does that.
Is he really going to paint his face?
I don't know. But
he probably won't even wear a shirt.
I am coming. I'm going to be there. Kevin's not going to wear a shirt either.
Yeah, I got to balance out the handsomeness.
That would be the craziest event.
Talk about Bathsheba bathing on the roof. Tell you what.
Brad Bell on a flatbed truck.
Oh, yeah. So
everybody come get your plants.
Who knows what's going to happen at Serve Day now?
You see a bunch of people.
Well, come to Serve Day. Come get a t-shirt. They are limited, but they are really cool shirts. We'll post a photo of the shirt. Because
we will post a photo.
I feel like that will get some buzz. Oh, I want a shirt. I'll come early. So come early to the event. What is the parking lot called?
It's the parking Peter's lot by building. The Peters Building.
Parking lot by the Peters Building. Now, if I don't know anything other than the
Sean
Save Mart
Woodrow.
Center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sean Woodrow.
You can get there off of Barstow or Shaw.
Okay.
In yeah. between Chestnut and Maple.
There you go. All I know is the...
near the rec center.
Still only know Save Mart Center.
Just watch out for the rodeo going on at Save Mart Center. If you see horses walking around, you're in the wrong spot.
Okay. Ooh. So that is March 17th.
Brad Bell will be on a horse.
Painted as Braveheart.
What's it called when like you're a half man, half horse?
Sagittarius.
Is that really? That's a lie. That's such a lie.
Isn't it like a centaur or something?
A centaur.
Sagittarius is a Scorpio sign.
So Brad is going to be a centaur at Serve Day. He's going to be in Kevin is looking this up.
I don't have to look it up.
Sagittarius is
go
Zodiac
to the serve
sign.
Page on the web yeah. website. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah,
hope we didn't
you.
Scare you off. Please come back and spiritually form all of us because
we desperately
need it. So thanks, Scott. Check out the website and we'll put a photo up of the t-shirt as well. So we'll see you guys on the 17th for Serve Day at 9 o'clock next to the Peters Building. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Stay tuned for some announcements as we close out the show and enjoy some more Daft Punk. One more time. All right, we are running long on this episode, so we'll keep this brief.
Because our MySpace intro was...
Well, you know...
it was great.
But I just want to clarify, Kevin was correct in the last segment. Sagittarius is a half man, half horse.
Well, at least if you look it up on Google Images.
Yeah.
You know,
which is a totally credible source.
Totally credible.
Yeah.
The reason that I said that is because of Dave Chappelle. On the Dave Chappelle show at one point...
Dave show.
Yeah, there's a guy who plays a half man, half horse, and the end of the whole deal is, I am a Sagittarius, and he's half man, half horse.
Okay, so
that's why my reference was a little off.
No, it's all right.
Because I'm a sinner.
Because you watch the Chappelle Show.
That's right. So
you're going to have a lot of consequences. 70,000 people are going to die because you watch that show.
No, but you know what movie he's in that we always forget about? You've Got Mail.
This
he
is
was
true.
A great character in You've Got Mail.
I was about to
mail.
Say a movie, and then I was like, nope, not going to say that one. So
right.
Dave Chappelle is in one of my all-time favorites movies. He plays Achu in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh.
Don't you guys remember that movie?
Yeah.
He plays Achu, and he wears Reebok pumps in like the mid-century 1600s.
That's awesome.
And he's Achu.
That's a great movie.
It's a great name.
No, it's
and
good.
So they go, God bless you. And so... Once again, we're talking about random crazy stuff. All right, so you got all the serve day information on the last segment. This is the spout.
Wait,
and we're out.
Wait.
Oh, wait.
You guys. Sorry.
No. I wanted to say happy birthday to my mom, Peggy.
Happy birthday to
the ground. Happy birthday to the ground. No, my mom, Peggy, it's her birthday today, and she's the best. So, hi, Mom. I love you. Happy birthday.
Hi, Mrs. Wells.
You can call her Mrs. Peg. Wells.
I also love you.
Oh,
mom.
Yep, that's my mom.
This is Spout.
And take two, we're out.
Technology. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, crack it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, twitch it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip it.